ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now, let's have some fun.
Yes, let's have some fun. Oh, welcome to Wise and Nerdy, where fatherhood meets fandom. And we're having a blast, and we appreciate all of you coming along and participating with us in the live recording and on the podcast. We have a lot of awesome stuff there. Kurt, I need you to put something in the nerding out section, man. You don't get the slack. You got to bring some weight. Bring some gravitas to us.
Yeah.
That's what I planned on you for. I'm outing our secret private chat.
I'm working on it.
So, all right.
Got here. So, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, man. There's some things I'd like to ask our audience to do before we get into the question of the week. And that is to participate with us by recording yourself. It can be through SpeakPipe. It can be through our SpeakPipe right on wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. And you can record yourself saying, it's the question of the week, roll that dice, or any fun phrase that you'd like. That has to be clean, right? Any fun phrase that you like. But those are the ones that we hit the most, right? Is especially roll that dice. Like, Joe, give an example of a roll that dice.
It's the question of the
dice. There you go.
Roll that dice.
Yeah, where you had your kid do it, Mike's done it, Kurt's done it. We should actually record ourselves doing it, you know. But that's what I'd love for our audience to do. That's easy. You can do it on SpeakPipe. Again, that's wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. Or it can be through an email if you just record an MP3. We'd love to have you do that with us, and we'll put it on the buttons with Joe and myself, and it will be awesome. Now, give me a question of the week, Joe.
Hold on. I have one caveat to that request, and that is Mike Woodard is not allowed to do it.
Question of the week.
Okay.
You said to give you a question of the week. There you go.
I did.
The question this week is, how have you been mentored, or how have you mentored someone else?
See, that's the wrong question. The question should be, how much do you hate Joan Moore now after that sound effect?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Love you too.
Well, you know what? That could pivot to the next thing we want our audience to do, is we would like to bring on some mentoring dads and moms to come in and talk and have fun with us and answer some of these questions themselves. So if you'd like to be a part of that, Joe, serious question. Can you actually still check our Gmail account?
Yeah.
Good, because I forgot the password. I'll have to get that from you later. So if you'd like to be a part of the show and come ride with Kurt and Joe and myself and have some fun, we'd love to have you. Hit us up at wnnshow@gmail.com, and we'll work that out. But Joe, I was thinking about Kurt, right? Who has he mentored, or who mentored him? Yeah, I want to know if he met, like, not Harrison Ford, because that'd be cool. The Ford manufacturer, Ford. I already lost his name. The joke did not go well. Kurt, I erase it from your mind.
Okay. Charles is just rambling here.
Don't worry about it.
No one knows what he's saying. Look,
don't worry about it. Wait. All right, Kurt, how have you been mentored, or how have you mentored somebody?
So I'm sure I've been mentored and mentored by. There was a music teacher when I was in high school that made a huge impression on me and really kind of helped me out from a music standpoint. But honestly, a lot of what I've been doing lately is mentoring for people, other people that are losing weight, and it's primarily people that are just starting. since I really have gotten deep into the weight loss community, specifically on TikTok and somewhat on Instagram, there's a lot of not just people starting out, but also younger people that are concerned with their weight.
Okay.
And sometimes inappropriately so.
Like a body dysmorphia kind of thing.
Well, and look, that body dysmorphia is a real thing. And for a lot of us who have lost a lot of weight, it's still a major thing. But it's more that you've got like 19, 20 year old kids. I'm going to call them kids because I'm 56. I've earned it. So we've got these 19, 20 year old kids who are like saying, "Hey, I'm 250 pounds and I'm 5'10" and I need to lose X amount of weight." And we're like going, "So don't worry about losing the weight. Be a little bit more active." But really, and it gets worse with kids in high school, point where like we had to make the Discord that I'm a member of 18 and over, because kids have a whole different set of issues that come with that.
Sure. Yeah.
But it very much is, there's been so much pressure for people to look a certain way and feel a certain way, particularly the younger people, that we've had to really spend a lot of time just saying, "How about this? How about you just be young? Let's not worry about that right now. Make good choices."
Yeah.
But don't spend all your time worrying about it. You know, just make some better choices, and over time that'll work out for you. But don't try to get it. Like, I can't tell you how many people that say, like, it's November right now, right? "I need to lose 50 pounds by the end of December." At which point is the question becomes, why? And most of the time it's, "Well, because I need to." There's not really any good reason.
Because reasons, right? That's
because that reasons. And so we've spent a lot of time saying, "Why are you doing this? What are you trying to accomplish?" And really getting to the heart of the matter with folks, rather than just say, "Well, all you need to do is eat protein.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything else." Well, that's not sustainable and that's silly.
Raw liver king, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, so that's been honestly most of the mentoring that I've been doing. From that side of things, I've actually been mentoring a person in our company who is trying to be more of a leader within the company. All and right. so it's because I've got a lot more experience than they do. You know, I there's a lot of, "I'm running into this problem with this person. Well, have you tried this? And have you tried this?" And what I end up saying is, in my past, I've had to deal with that kind of a person in this kind of a way. And here's some places that it did succeed, and here's some places that it didn't.
Joe, what he really says is, "No, I deal with two knuckleheads like that every Thursday night. Go watch this video on how to deal with them."
And what you find out is communication and language is of the utmost importance in all these cases.
Every case. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Communication's everything.
What about you, Joe? Mentorship.
I mean, you always try to be a mentor to your kids. So that's there. So you just gotta, you know, teach them not to be jerks. I mean, at the end of the day, most parents, they just want their kids to be good people. And so sometimes that can be a struggle because kids are often selfish little jerks. So
especially at home, right? Especially with the family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, for instance, this morning, my 11-year-old wanted to come out of his room, and so they're allowed to play quietly. they're allowed to play quietly if they wake up a little early, play quietly in their room.
What's early?
Until before 8 o'clock. Okay.
Okay.
And so if they wake up before 8, they can play quietly, read a book, whatever they want in their room. Of course, they can come out to use the bathroom, get a drink, whatever. Well, my almost 11-year-old decided he wanted to come out early today. So he goes over to the 4-year-old's room and pounds on the door get him to make noise in the monitor that we have in there to wake us up so that we would come upstairs and he could come downstairs.
Wait, why do you have a monitor in your 4-year-old's room?
In case he wakes up in the night.
Okay.
Charles is just like, meh.
After a year old, when they were sleeping through the night, monitors went out the window for me.
We just still have in there. Actually, we haven't really talked about when to take it out.
I got it one morning back when the sound systems were the big separate boxes and you had to hit this button and turn this on. There's 4 remotes and all this jazz. I came out to my 3-year-old watching Sesame Street or something appropriate. And I'm like, did your older brother or sister set this up for you? He's like, nope. And he had figured out on his own how to turn on everything and keep it low enough not to bother anybody. So, yeah. I mean, he would have figured out how to disconnect the baby monitor by the time he was 4. That was kind of
our experience too. I think we had a baby monitor for definitely my son, not even sure about my daughter. And then 2, maybe 3, that would have been the oldest. It like stopped. Like the
monitor also didn't have an upstairs either, Kurt. I mean, he just said they are downstairs basically.
That's fair. Yeah. Cause we were on the same floor too with the kids. And so, but I do remember, like, I did come out much like you're talking about, Charles. One Saturday morning or whatever it was, I got out of bed, went downstairs where the TV was, and kid was sitting there watching Sesame Street or something, Barney, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And I went, didn't know he knew how to turn on the TV.
Yeah. Also, Joe, you've had 3 for a reason. If one of them was dumb enough to fall down the stairs, that's just evolution. Am I wrong? But all right. No, you were telling a story. You were telling a story about your jerk-faced kid beating on the door of the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wake up to the monitor because the 4-year-old is crying because his brother's pounding on his door and startled him. And so, yeah, I was a bit grumpy this morning. Bit grumpy indeed.
So anyway, kind of like last Thursday where he came in hot and grumpy. So, all right, we got a trending theme going on, Kurt. It is grumpy November for Joe. Yep. But I would be grumpy too if my wife punched me to get the kids up, and I'm not punching her to do code. I'm just saying. The mentorship.
And again, you just, all the women that listen to our podcast are like, Charles is a jerk.
I saw this. I didn't make this. I saw this and it made me laugh. It's like, I can't believe there are 3.8 billion women on the planet Earth and it's still not clean.
Oh my.
Thanks. Please, for tuning in. Send all your hate mail to WNNshow@gmail.com or go to wiseandnerdy.com/calldad and leave your voicemail.
Yeah, leave plenty of voicemails and tell Charles what a misogynist he is. And so, you know what?
What?
Kurt, we need to mentor Charles on how to treat women.
I think so.
I still,
and then you can be mentored, and you can tell a story.
I can tell a story about how Joe and Kurt tried to turn me normal, and that's just not a thing in this world.
Remember, Charles, women are friends, not food.
I don't even know what to say to that. So, mentor, I have found, I did some coaching here recently, and it really did help take me to another level. And I have found that truly refining my life's purpose is to help others be awesome. And what that has done, like in the workforce for me, where I am the COO of my company, there's almost 50 people underneath me now. And then I am a mentor to the other company, to the managers there and those kind of things. I have found that mentally, I thought, I got to draw a line between business and it's their life and I don't need to get involved. It's like, nah, that's not what we do. It's not who we are at Trinity EMS. And so I've actually, in my interviews, I tell people my mission and my goal here is to make you a better person, a better technician, and a better employee in that order. Because by the time you get to a better technician and a better person, you're already going to be a great employee. And that's really, we're focused on your life. And to that end, the reason I brought up the question tonight is I ended up calling somebody who's been off for almost a month because he hurt his hand doing some dumb things. And I had been putting off calling him because of that mental block of, should I get involved? But the reality is I am involved in their life, and that can be more than a paycheck. You know, you can go anywhere and get a paycheck. You need a reason to be here. And the reason for me is I want to help you be a better human being. So I called him, and I was very clear. It was like, you don't have to take this advice. You can tell me to shut up, you know. But here's why I think I'm okay to give you this advice. And then he agreed. And then we started talking about, and I said, as a coach, I'm not your boss in this session. I'm your coach and trying to help you out. And I just gave him some hard advice. And as a father, as a husband, and as a bit of a mentor for him. So, you know, I think everybody should have somebody they mentor. Like Kurt, you have somebody at work coming to you. Joe, I know you've told stories of other coworkers coming to you to ask about how do I deal with this or that, you know, in the past. And yes, you're right. That might be a question for the next episode, but it is a big part of fatherhood mentorship, because obviously, you know, mothers and fathers do things differently depending on the person. It's not always a gender related thing, but there are differences in how we do things. For the longest time, my wife was like, you don't care about the kids. And like, yeah, I do. I just don't care in the way you care. I don't feel like I need to go to every ball game. I don't, because it's not like they do it once a year, guys. They do it like 5 times a year. So if you've seen them fail at one ball game, you see them fail at all. But that's harsh. That's just me being mean. But anyway, we'll bring that up on another show. I think it'll be fun. Because here's a statistic that I heard, haven't validated, but I will. It's not a joke. It's a thing of, I want you guys to guess. Percentage-wise, how much percentage, like 100%, 80%, whatever, and it can go as big as you want. How much percent do you think it is that a child is more likely to be horrible to their mother than to any other human being in the world?
5 times more likely.
You said 5 times, like 500%. What do you think, Kurt?
37.3.
That again, it was on TikTok. It seemed to be very legit. It wasn't like a flyby meme. It was two people talking, promoting their show or whatever, as you do on TikTok with the clips. 800% was the number. It is 800% more likely that a child, because of that relationship with the mother and the relaxation, I guess, because you're talking about, you know, at home, Joe, I think it was you that said, you know, there are going to be more jerk faces. And your 11-year-old is probably showing it now. It's probably better at school or better at church or better for other people than at home sometimes. And you'll see that more and more. But yeah, moms get a little rough, And I've seen that in my own kids. And they'll be me, like my son Ryland, he went through a phase where he would mouth off to her like nobody's business. And the second he even came in the house and he knew I knew, he didn't say anything to me. And I don't think it's because I'm stronger than my wife. I think it's just there's a more of a comfort level that can be negative. Kurt, you had something.
Yeah. So I kind of hate stats like that. And the reason I hate stats like that is because 800% more likely sounds really crazy. Like, oh my God, everybody's going to be terrible to their mom. However, 800 times more likely than what? Like, if
and like maybe being,
let's say, how they treat their dad. Right. No, that's why I'm saying it's a terrible stat.
Sure.
I'm not even blaming you. I think it's just, I hate it when people do stuff like that.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
So it could be like, let's take Joe for instance. We know that Joe hates his mom, right? So
that's right. All we hear about is Pappy NASCAR. We never hear about Mama NASCAR.
No, but let's say Joe's inclination.
I love his face right now.
Yeah, but let's say his inclination is to be to treat his dad terribly by 5%. No, half a percent. Let's say a half a percent more than any other normal human being.
Okay.
All right, and let's say that's what Joe has shown. if those stats are correct, then Joe is now 800% more likely to treat his mom worse than his dad.
Which would make right? it what?
40%? Like 40% of, and what does even that mean? Like, is it that 40% of everything that comes out of his mouth is terrible towards his mom, whether she's there or not?
I mean, you know what? You're right. And
it's just a weird stat. It also goes back though to those like doctors say that you're 40% more likely to get cancer than what? Like
than shot by your neighbor?
Maybe. You know? I don't know.
To that stat, I would love to hear your stories. Moms, write in, call in, talk about, yes, you love your kids. We're not taking away. This is a positive show, but do you feel like, and that could be our question on Spotify. Do you feel like moms
somebody's watching you?
Only two people tonight, but we love it. Do you feel like that stat is as a mom, do you feel like that stat's right or wrong? And as a dad, do you feel like that stat's right or wrong? And I would like to hear your stories on that. But let's hit a roll that dice, shall you?
Roll that dice.
Oh, that's such a beautiful voice. I wonder where that came from.
I don't know. What are
you nerding out about now?
What are we nerding out about now? Thank you, Kurt, for asking. What are we nerding out about now? And since you asked so nicely, let's start with you again. What are you nerding out about? Brought to you by Diet Coke, the Coke of Kurt's generation. Diet Coke,
the taste that quenches. So
800% more than something else.
Yeah. So I'm split this week, retro gaming and Demon Slayer update. So retro gaming, I bought a thumb drive off of AliExpress.
Joe wrote, Diet Coke quenches your thirst 800% more than your mom? Question mark. That's not a thumb drive. That's a thumbnail drive, man. It's a shiny mirror, and it's tiny.
Yep, it's tiny. It's like 128 gig, I think. Yeah, 128 gig. And it's got, I don't know, 40,000 games on it. So I am in the process of building a retro gaming machine.
And be a RetroArch.
Yep. In fact, RetroArch is scanning the folders as we speak. We're going to see how that all works out, but I'm going to set up you can't see it now, but see this blur right here?
Yeah.
That blur right there is my weight bench. And
you know there's a button you can turn the blur off.
Yeah. Technology. Who understands that? And over here, which you can't see yet, is where I'm going to end up putting my big TV for my retro gaming PC.
All right.
So I'm going to be building that out.
No, dude, you got to get a tube, a CRT. Come on, man.
Screw that. This is now the 21st century. We don't have to deal with tubes that weigh 1,000 pounds anymore.
Unless you want to play Duck Hunt.
Even now there are some light guns that'll work with those, with the LED TVs. But Duck Hunt is, overrated.
fair enough.
Hot take. If you're going to play a light gun game, then you play Time Crisis.
You're my boy, Blue. That's the only machine I've ever wanted. Cause I wanted to step on the pedal for my character to duck so I can reload and get back to it. Love that game.
Before I get to Demon Slayer, I will tell you that I worked on a Time Crisis game for the mobile phone.
Oh, okay. Did it ever come out or no?
Oh, yeah. Did? Oh, yeah. Okay. Came out. But it was pre-iPhone Android. It came out on the Motorola Razr and a whole bunch of those phones.
If you look at
the keypad,
yeah,
that was each of the 9 segments on the screen.
Okay.
You would tap and shoot. It worked better than you'd think it would.
Okay.
And it was kind of still terrible because it was so small. Fair enough. Time Crisis worked because it was on rails.
There's a bad joke in there, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. Now, Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
Someone finished the Mugen Train arc, right?
My boy.
I did finish the Mugen Train arc. I am happy to report that I cared more about Rengoku than I thought I was going to.
Right? Mr. Rengoku, thank you very much.
Well, look, spoilers, but dead Rengoku. So
you can't just say that! That's like a permanent no saying that.
I'm 56 years old. I can say what I want. Okay.
Spoiler daddy.
Yep. Spoiler daddy. That's fine. Okay. And so, the thing is, now I'm in the entertainment district.
Yep.
Arc. And I will tell you, you guys were absolutely right in terms of the art style improving over time. Because season one to the Mugen Train, I understand it was a movie. I don't care. It looked
so much better. Yeah.
And Entertainment District, is that just a straight up TV show?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still held up. Like, it wasn't quite as polished as the Mugen Train, but
they just had to crank it out faster, probably.
Yeah, but really, really well done. And I can't remember his name, the flashy.
Arisha. Oh, yeah. It's three wives.
Hashira. Is it Hashira or Arisha?
Hashira.
Yeah, the flashy one.
The ninja.
Yeah.
Didn't they call him the sound?
Yeah, he's the Hashira. He's a ninja. He was trained as a ninja before he became a demon slayer.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't remember hearing that, but.
Uzui.
Yes. Yeah. And I just got to the point where Tanjiro was fighting the sixth level demon with the belt.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which I thought was that
upper six.
I
do we're talking about number six. Yeah.
Number six. Upper six. Upper six. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's number six. And upper six. Yeah.
I like the creativity in the demon powers. Like I got past the they're just vampires thing. Well, because they did the demons a disservice by kind of making it look like vampires at the beginning.
You're not wrong.
And they still kind of drank blood, but then they stopped concentrating on the regular demons and started going to the upper level demons.
Yep. Yeah.
And I dig it. And there's some really good creativity in the character design there.
What about Inosuke? Has he grown on you more?
No.
You're the most American watcher of anime I've ever met. You don't like Inosuke and you say everything wrong. So
I would love Inosuke because there's moments of really awesome stuff with both him and Zenitsu. Yeah, Zenitsu.
Lightning boy.
The over the top thing. It's still a barrier for me. Like, look, I understand, dude. You're a little pent up about everybody and whatnot, but you know, settle down. And Zenitsu, it's like, yeah, okay, girls are a thing. You need to get over this. You know. And really start channeling your whatever trance he goes into because that's the coolest that guy ever is.
It's true.
And I want to see him be awesome like that all the time.
You get more of it coming up.
I'm sure. Because he probably learns how to channel it, but
not really.
None. Probably. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. You can't do that either, Joe. And yes, they technically are. They are technically in the Swordsmith's Village, but Kurt, the fourth season is the Swordsmith's Village, which was also a movie first, cut up into episodes. And no, Inosuke and Zenitsu are not in it very much. But Joe, to your question before, when we saw the movie poster before, have you seen now the entirety of the Swordsmith's Village arc?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Zoe and I ended up binge watching that this week. We just had some time on our hands and just kind of burned through it. Yes, I'm very disappointed. And my boy knows he's not there. He's not there. And we get a bunch of new characters, which were fine. And they didn't explain some things as much as they have in the past, but that was okay. But yeah, we finished that arc. So we're both very, not sad because of how it ended. We're sad that we literally have no more to look forward to. We're 100% caught up on everything that's out right now. Yeah, so it is.
Well. So wait, Entertainment District's third season?
Correct.
And then there's only one season after this?
So far. Yeah. And they will make more. I mean, it's not only making huge money around the world, it's got a massive following in Japan or Central. I'm assuming Japan, but I may be ignorant and mistaken on that, and I apologize. But like, Kurt, I don't think you were on when we were talking about it, but he did this Fathom event where I took Zoe to that was Demon Slayer Live. We're like, whoa, what is this? But it was, they have such a following that they have their, Demon Slayer has its own convention. It's not mixed in with anything else. It has its own convention that people come to. And the voice actors, the original voice actors are there on stage, and they went through the Mugen Train arc, a live reading. And it could, I mean, the graphics, they put a huge screen behind them. There's a real train there, or not real train, but it looks like, you know, a stage train there. And there's a, what's the name of the little hospital village they go to get well each time? Whatever that is there's a stage of that. So they're reading their scenes and improvising some things. What?
I keep wanting to think it's wisteria, but that's the type of tree that's around them. It's not.
Well, and there was that wisteria temple or wisteria building or whatever.
That's what it is, but I don't remember what it's called. But yeah, that place. But here's the thing. This auditorium that they're doing this live, they do it for 2 days. They did the Mugen Train arc, and then they did Entertainment District live reads, and they're a good 2 hours long with a break in between where the actors talk to each other and kind of interview each other. It's cool. 3,000 people packed that place out each day.
Wow.
So we're definitely going to get some more. It's just going to take a minute. They got to animate it, but it's. I think you might predict where it's going once you get into the Swordsmith Village, but it takes some interesting turns.
So does this series follow the manga?
I haven't read the manga, but yeah, I would assume so.
Well, and the only reason I wonder is because it seems like there's a lot of books. Yeah, like 23.
That can be really misleading, especially with manga, because they tend to put multiple books into a single season.
That's what I'm wondering.
So I haven't looked up to see how much more source material they have, because that has been a problem in the past. Like, for instance, Full Metal Alchemist, there's two different versions of it. There's the 2003 version and then the other version, and the earlier version, they caught up to where the source material was, and they decided they weren't going to wait and did their own story. Whereas then they made another anime, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, that actually follows the source material.
That's what the difference is.
Yeah, both of which are fantastic series. It's just very interesting to see the differences. So they start off very similar. And in fact, Brotherhood references some events that they never showed, but they showed it in the other anime. Very good, very good. If anyone does watch Full Metal Alchemist, the 2003 one, the earlier one, make sure you watch the movie that follows up the series, because it's a huge cap end to the story, and it has a better ending than the anime did, in my opinion.
I'll say the live action movie was really good.
I never did watch the live action one, but
well, it looks like you watched Inkheart, though.
I did watch Inkheart. So I was browsing around Max trying to figure out something to watch this weekend, and ran into Inkheart, and I'm like, hey boys, you want to watch this movie with me? And so we had
the opening scene is everybody get murdered, and your boys ran screaming away and crying.
Oh, such a so good.
Is that why you have to sleep in the basement now, Joe?
No. Oh, okay. But yeah, no, I forgot some of the actors that were in that. Like, obviously, I remember that Brendan Fraser was in there, but I forgot that Paul Bettany was in it. And why am I blanking on the actor that plays Gollum?
South African. Come on, Kurt. Kurt's just smiling. Like he's got it. He's not going to give it to us. He was Black Panther. Come on.
The Andy Serkis.
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Good job. Good job, Joe.
Yeah. So
Andy Serkis. I'm sitting here going, there. Andy.
Andy. And it had the actress from, whenever I look at her, I think of Red. She's from Red. The older, one of the older actresses.
Helen Mirren.
Judi Dench.
Yep. Helen Mirren. One. Yep, that's it.
But both of those were great actresses in that film.
Yes. But yeah, anyway, I love the concept of it. It's where Inkheart is a movie about people who have the power to read books out loud and cause stuff to come out of the books.
They should remake that today with today's movie making sensibilities, storytelling sensibilities, and the powerful graphics that we have that since then.
But yeah, in general, it's really, really good. And it was on Max. I keep wanting to say HBO Max because that's what it used to be, but it was on Max, and it's PG. It's good stuff. Good family fun.
Awesome.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
It was 98, 97, somewhere in there.
Yeah, something like that.
It was in the heyday when Brendan Fraser did all the Mummy films.
Oh, no. And 2008.
Oh, wow. Later. So, but you know, Brendan Fraser had already come up and was a he's the lead of it. And that was the advertising aspect of it.
Before he got blackballed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, slightly different nerddom that I know Kurt will jump in with me here. I have used this app for a couple of years now. It's called Stash, and you know I've always been interested in the stock market, but I'm as with money as you should be. If you don't understand something, you shouldn't play with it. And so Stash came along and it was easy enough to understand it and did really, really well in the education of things. Of hey. This is maybe why you don't want to put your money here. This is why it's volatile. And it's very simple and it's very easy to understand. And like AMC, I'm a stockholder in AMC. And every time I try to put a few bucks in, it's like, are you really sure? This is a very volatile thing. And this is what can happen. It's like, it's $5, man. I'm sure. I'm good. You let Fidelity. 401k is different, though. 401k is if this is a straight up, you do the stock market. But it's all essentially hedge funds.
Fidelity actually lets you pick and choose.
Well, most 401ks do.
Yeah.
But that's all. It is a different aspect. So this is more of an interactive. So I've done the same thing, Joe, where, yeah, you can go in and choose. And you should. You should do your research. Choose the stocks. You know, slow growth, medium growth, fast growth, balanced, whatever. But with Stash, I put in $5 a week. And I have pieces of some stocks. Like I have a piece of Netflix, less than one stock. I have a piece of Disney. I have a piece of Apple. Which Disney, they're really killing me right now. But that's neither here nor there. But I actually was very smart in a number of my investments early on. Like it's late 2020 when I found Stash and got into it. And I bought a lot of NVIDIA. And I'm talking about $5 a week and $20 a month, roughly. And it cost me $1 a month to use it. And Kurt... I found out you and I got to talking about it one night and you know, you had gotten into it on your own. So I wanted to ask you, Kurt, to recommend one stock. And we're not financial advisors at all, but there's definitely, I go with my investment strategy is one. If it says you need to, you know, it will say, hey, you've got more of a balance, less of a balanced portfolio, and it'll suggest some things. So sometimes I do that just to balance out. Right. But if I use a product like NVIDIA, That's when, okay, that's where I put my money. I invest in my phone cell carrier. I invest in the types of phones that I use. When my kids got jobs, I invested, if those places were publicly traded, invested in those places. Then the way they quit, there you go. Just invest in whatever Nancy Pelosi invests in. And it's very low risk, and I've done pretty well. But I got into NVIDIA in 2020 when everybody was starting to buy all these video cards and do everything from home. And I mean, I maybe put in $100 total, and it has gone berserk because I saw that coming. But not everything's been that successful. There's definitely been a corporate vegetable that I invested in that took all of my money. It did not go where I thought it was going to be. But Kurt, what is your strategy on how you use Stash? And Kurt and I text each other on Wednesdays, to him more than me, going, hey, stocks, because it's a free stock where you log in and they give you a tiny, like 8 cents of a stock or something.
Right, right. Yeah, so I invest basically $10 a week, actually $15 a week. I have 10 where I split it up into different things. So it's every week. And then $5 to play with. My $5 often has been going towards, I'm like you, stocks that I use, or services that I use. So like I go on cruises and one of the, and the cruise line that I use the most is Norwegian Cruise Line.
I think I got some of them too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for them, because even though they took a big dip, right after COVID, it doesn't matter. I mean, they weren't, the company wasn't going under. So that's one thing. But also people are starting to, we're starting to get back into the cruising thing. And so, the way that I deal with my discretionary $5 every week is I look at what I'm invested in. And then I go, okay, what is the current price? And then obviously if it's lower than what my average price of paying for it is, then I will probably invest in it. And so, for example, Norwegian today, says the average price that I paid is $13.67 a share.
Okay.
Today's price is $14.63. Okay. So, I'm not going to spend more money on them because it's over my average price.
Gotcha.
So that being said, I have invested heavily in corporate cannabis. And the reason is because I think it's a foregone conclusion in the United States that it's just going to become fully legal in a lot of places, but it had a hot streak and is pretty much at a dip right now. So my position on that is my average price was $3.90 a share. And today it is at $2.98 a share. So I would probably throw money into that today.
Gotcha.
So only because I believe things like corporate cannabis at some point, marijuana is going to be legal everywhere in the United States, I believe, which means it will be taxable in most places, mm-hmm. which means corporations have to raise the money somehow and people are going to buy it. So the more available it's going to be, I think the price is going to come up but again, that's a bet on my, it's, sure. it's a gamble.
And it is always a gamble, right?
I mean,
my funds got up to, I'd earned $600 on based on what I invested, like $600 on top of what I've invested. Then at one point it got down to not quite double digits, but very close. And now it's back up. So it is definitely a gamble. You need to be in there in the long run. The only time I sold, actually I got a piece of Twitter before Elon Musk got it. So when he got it, they bought everybody out. So I actually made it, I think I put in $10 and got almost 60 back when they forced bought me out. But other than that, I think I sold one where I just didn't like the company anymore. And it's like, nope, yeah, I'm good. And I sold for a little bit of profit, but it was for me, it is that kind of emotional tie, but you're in it for the long run. I knew when Delta, when we were coming out of COVID, it's like, if Delta goes under, the least of my worries is losing $50 on them, because the whole world's going to change. And of course, my bet was a very solid one. And I actually own like 4 whole shares of them now. And it just keeps going up. But Joe, before we move on, do you have any thoughts or questions about investing? Is it something you're interested in, not interested in?
I don't know. I just, whenever I think of little investment apps or whatever like that, it makes me think of Robinhood and the whole scandal. I did that
for a minute, and yeah.
Went down with them, where they were blocking people from selling and buying during that whole meme stock.
Well, yeah, the market was being manipulated through them, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so, but they had shown themselves or conveyed themselves as this open platform where people can just come and sell and buy. And then they were restricting people. And so, I haven't checked on them in a long time, but I would be surprised if they recovered from that PR disaster.
I think they're still going okay. I get an email from, because I was in it for a little bit before the GameStop stuff, and realized I didn't want to be there for various reasons. So, but what would have been funny when I asked you all that, it's like, Carrie, you got any questions? If you just hit roll that dice, that would have been hilarious to say. It didn't play. I thought you were going to hit it.
No, nope, I decided I didn't want to.
I saw the hand go for it. I will roll that dice.
We already did that one.
I'm just waiting for him to drop the atomic bomb.
Daddy can't tell me a story.
All right. This one we started talking about at the end of one of our episodes. Like, man, we really got to do a whole thing about it. Dating before we got married. And let me tell you, patrons, if you're not a patron, you should be. Because the stories at the end of these shows, they go deep sometimes. And Joe, Joe was telling stories that made me blush a little bit. So, all right, Joe. Okay, real quick, round table. Kurt? How many people did you seriously date in a relationship before you met your wife?
None.
None. Ask me, Kurt.
How many people did you seriously date before you met your wife?
2. And by seriously date, we're talking about Deep South Baptist religion, not the full preacher's kid where you go around being a dirty person. But, you know, kissing was a weird thing. I really was in a relationship trying to figure out what we're going to go. 2. Yeah. That's it. So, Joe, how many serious relationships were you in before you met your wife?
None.
Okay. Now let's new question. Kurt, how many people did you just go out on a first date with before you met your wife?
Oh,
yeah, you're itching a little bit, Joe. You know what's coming. It doesn't matter. You know, number
three, let's say 3. It might have been 3. I was 15 when I met my wife.
Oh, now that's going to be a great story. I don't think I realized the age on that. So for me, maybe 4, counting the 2 relationships, maybe 4 people total. So Joseph _Ard, how many people did you go out with before you met the amazing and lovely Kelsey?
30.
That's the number you have to think about. That is a jersey number. That should have been your number on the back of your Wise and Nerdy jersey.
Yes, I went on a lot of first dates.
Did you kiss them all?
No.
How many did you kiss?
Only 27.
Other than my wife, I have kissed 4 other people, 4 other women. So, but yes.
Okay. I only because I know other people are thinking it. Are you counting your mom and your grandmother?
No. I
don't think that at all. Oh my God, girl.
All right.
And I'm also not counting, like dares either, because I've told the story here where I was dared to Charles's face got all big. Where when I was like six, I was dared to kiss the neighbor girl and given a box of red, a big old thing of Red Vines to kiss her.
I mean, come on, it's Red Vines, baby.
It's Red Vines. I mean,
yeah. I mean, when you're six, you can't turn down the Red Vine.
I mean, if I'm including like Truth or Dare sessions as a teenager, it would jump to eight or so, but.
Out of the three of us, who saw those numbers coming?
I need to start the Quantum Leap program. I will be right back.
You want to jump in each of the girls he dated?
Well, no, God, no, no, no. But oh, I got to go see what's going on,
right? Okay, out of this is a tell me a story that we'll keep bringing around because it's fun. So this is kind of set up, but Kurt, I don't think when we were talking about this in the Patreon stuff that I realized you're 15 when you met your wife.
Yeah.
So tell us that story. So obviously at 15, you're not going to have dated a whole lot of people.
No. I was a high school music student and, for three summers in a row, I would go to a local university where they would do a music camp where high school students would go and stay at the university in the dorms.
Just one time at musical camp?
I know. Whenever the band camp thing came up.
Who knew Kurt would be the most pure out of all of us, Joe? Come on.
So this the second year I was at band camp, I met my wife and we kind of hit it off, but she was dating somebody and I wasn't at the time. And that summer we got done and it was clear that it wasn't going to go anywhere at the time until October, November, December. Somewhere in that time frame, and starting in December of that same year, we started dating exclusively, and really haven't stopped.
So many years does that make you together? You said you were 56.
So this year, which is 2023, makes 40 years together.
Wow! Now, how long? And, obviously, you didn't get married super fast.
Nope. Right. We got married in 1989, which makes 34 years married this year. And right, so we dated for about six. So we dated throughout high school, went to four proms, because she went to a different high school in the same town.
All right. Two juniors, two senior proms.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then she went to the university here in New Hampshire, funnily enough, called University of New Hampshire.
And you struggle to remember that. All right.
Yeah. And basically,
stop, Joe.
I lived an hour away from the university, but I would go see her every weekend, and she would come home. But it was only an hour, so it's not even a big deal. And
oh, you say that until I try to watch Doctor Strange with you? Okay, sure.
Yeah, fair enough. fair enough. But end of her sophomore year, I popped the question. I had a job. I had a full-time regular career type job. And I asked her to marry me in the worst possible way.
Oh, come on. Tell us. Show us.
Okay. All right. Cool. So I get the ring and I'm all set. I go, okay. And because I liked to try to be funny, here's what happened. I get to her dorm. And her roommate's gone, and that's cool. And I sit down on her bed, and we're just talking. And I said, you know, I'm not sure that I can keep the relationship going the way it's going. and complete straight face.
I believe it.
And I'm going, I'm having a hard time with you being so far away during the week. And I just can't keep doing this. and she is almost in tears, like just beside herself, just
No.
And then I whip out the camera, the ring, and I said, "So that's why I think that we need to change our relationship." And again, I'm leaning heavy into being the jerk, and I said, "So that's why I want to ask you to marry me." And luckily, she said yes at that point.
Was it instant, or was it like you bleepity bleep?
It wasn't fully instant, but it wasn't very long. It was more relief than anger. So we were engaged at that point with the intent of we're not going to get married until after she gets out of college. So we had planned on a long engagement. We called everybody that night, like you do.
Yeah.
Everybody except for her mom said, "Well, it's about time." We were wondering how long it was going to take because we had been 15, already dating for like 3 or 4 years at that point.
Right.
And her mom said, "Well, you're not going to quit school, are you?"
Fair enough.
No, her mom was being a jerk. That was pretty much it. And we've been together ever since.
Nice.
And so the high school thing was interesting. Never thought that I would have had a relationship last that long, but here we are.
Here you are. Yeah. Sorry, Joe. Next time the question comes out, it's either me or you're on the hot seat telling our stories. But until that happens.
Roll that dice.
Stay tuned for this commercial break.
All right. Can we do it? Yes, we can.
Donate to your dad. Patreon.com/wiseinnerdy.
Hey, maybe you should have gotten Mike to propose to your wife for you.
And be divorced already?
Have a nerdy day.
Sorry, Joe.
Want to support the show? Go to patreon.com/wiseandnerdy.
Boom! That's how you do it.
If you don't want to support the show, go to patreon.com/VO by Kurt.
Appreciate all of you listening through all the shenanigans that these knuckleheads do. Kurt even tried to be funny, got it right. I love that. So thank you for listening and being here. We got a few more sections to go, so let's roll some dice.
Call your daddy and leave a voicemail. wiseandnerdy.com/calldad.
It pains me. This is to the pain.
Your pain is my pleasure.
We got to redo that. That's what you think about.
We finally. Sure do.
All right. No vetoes, no changing it. We're getting this one off the plate. Joe, what do you think about corn mazes?
Oh, man. We are a little bit past corn maze season, but that's okay.
Whose fault is that? All right.
Yours, because I said we can wait till next year to do it.
I'm not putting it off for a year. It haunts me. It haunts me. This is not even my topic. You brought this.
It's true, I did. So this year, I took a day off of work in middle of October and went to a corn maze with my family, with my boys and whatnot. And they just weren't into it.
Good.
Weren't into it at all. They had a bunch of other stuff at the place. Like, there was a pumpkin patch, so we got ourselves pumpkins, and there was an inflatable bouncing area, and they had giant tractor wheels that they could roll around in and whatnot. But the corn maze, they didn't like it at all, which is I found weird because when I was a teenager, my dad used to take us to corn mazes a fair bit, and we loved them. They were awesome.
Well, that's because you had bobcats chasing you all through the maze.
Right. I kind of picture the Hunger Games where daddy's riding them hardly on one side, the bobcats on the other, and you guys got to get out alive.
Yeah, it was old timey Midwest maze runner.
You're right. I love corn mazes, but my boys, like, we were maybe 5-10 minutes into the maze, and they're like, oh, my feet hurt, I'm done, I want to leave.
Well, we have established how your daddy was a better daddy than you.
Wow! What a
I feel
jerk.
Like we'll get an angry voicemail about that one. No, I meant to say different. Did I say better? I meant to say
you
different.
Did. You did.
I don't think you'll get an angry voicemail about that because my wife doesn't even know the comparison. She never met my dad. So,
well
Annie doesn't you're keep cool. wild animals
your kids
in the house.
Are whining about. Yeah, they can have animals. One, you got to have animals. Your kids don't. Two, you're pretty cool to hang out with. Your kids hate corn mazes. But I hated corn maze, so I don't know what to say about that.
You hated corn mazes? What about you, Kurt? Do you like corn mazes?
Depends. Is the corn still on the stalk?
It was at the one we went to.
Yeah. No, they still suck. yeah, no, I've got a love-hate relationship with corn because working on the farm as a kid.
Oh my God, me too. Not Joe. Usually it's Joe I'm agreeing with. Me too, Kurt.
Yeah. I love eating corn, but get those stalks away from me because they will screw up your arms something fierce. Yeah.
So you didn't ask me why.
Don't tell me I need to wear long sleeve shirts in the middle of summer.
Right. Oh man. So I think I've told the story about how my mom forced child labor onto us and gnats. And yeah, so that's part of it. It's not just picking the corn. I had to go back and spend hours outside in the heat shucking the corn. Right. And I hated that. But then the secondary thing is where I live. I'll preface it with the area that I live in. Half butts everything. I wanted to say something else, but I respect Joe. And half butts. And so it's just this. And there's a maze. Oh, look, it's a hayride, which is usually just a truck or a tractor pulling a trailer with some hay bales in it. And you just do a circle in this open field with nothing there. Hated it. Hated it. The one we went to did have some bouncy stuff. As a parent, I don't care. They actually had an old mock-up little miniature silo with some corn kernels in it that you could play in like a sandbox. Hated that because it gets in your shoes. I don't know, man. It just was cheesy. It wasn't done well. It wasn't, none of the corn races I've been to or anything like I've seen on TV, which maybe you even grew up with, Joe, where you can't see over the corn. You can't see. I mean, it's a true maze. You got to figure your way out. Mine has never been that. So maybe I just haven't had the right corn maze experience.
Look, a corn maze isn't any good if there's no Minotaur in the center.
So my dad always went to ones that had actors in there. So we had werewolves.
Never heard of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. We had werewolves and scarecrows jumping down and stuff like that. So
okay. I mean, I'm not into that, but that actually sounds like more fun. Did the one you took your kids to have that?
Nope.
Okay.
My kids are scaredy cats. They are, and maybe I just need to show them more scary movies and they'll get desensitized. Maybe.
The rated R version of Inkheart. Start there.
Well, stop traumatizing them by not letting them out of their room in the morning.
But also, can I pose this though? You and I and Kurt grew up in, when I say different era, I mean a different technological / entertainment era. Right. And I personally grew up with an antenna with three channels. And my parents were very strict on how much TV I had to watch, blah, blah, blah. So going out, plus we were poor. So even at we didn't do trunk or treats. That's a more modern thing. But the fall festivals at the churches, just even doing that was an adventure. But oddly enough, growing up in Farmville, basically, where in South Georgia, where I grew up, was all farmers for two of the main areas that I grew up in life. They never did corn mazes. I never got that experience as a kid. And I think, well, what you've already said, you know, actors and stuff jumping out made it fun. But also, that was an adventure for you where your kids are probably going, I wish this was back in my Switch or Minecrafting or maybe something else. You know, it's just a different attention. Plus, the one you went to didn't sound as good as the one you grew up with. Good job, Joe.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't do corn mazes as a kid.
I did corn. We shucked it. We picked it. We slaved over it. 1%er over here got to go to NASCAR races and sit in the pit. We had to go pick corn.
Now there are a bunch of corn mazes in our area, but I'm not taking kids there, and it just because. I still have flashbacks, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of get that, you know, because, you know, had my parents when I was a kid said, hey, you're not working on the farm today. You want to go to a corn maze? I might've said, okay, because yeah, three channels and maybe right. The Atari 2600 at home.
Right.
Yeah. Something to do.
Exactly, something to do. So I've got a challenge for our stretch goals for Patreon. We want to get enough income to send Joe anywhere in the United States to try the Quoty Fingers best corn maze ever. And I don't know where that is, so our listeners will have to submit it, and then somebody's going to have to help pay for it. We'll put Joe on a plane, Delta probably, and fly you out. I own part of Delta. I fixed it, baby. Don't worry about it. We're going to fly him out. I appreciate your business. We'll fly him out to the best corn maze in America.
Which currently is rated at Levant, Maine. Up in my neck of the area.
There you go. You and Kirk can both go. He'll be the grump. You'll be the joyful kid, and we'll see how it works.
I will say they have an overhead shot of this corn maze that looks like a pirate ship.
There you go.
Like a pirate ship on the side, I'm assuming? Yeah. Like you see from the air, just is a picture laid out? Okay. What happens if you get stuck in the crow's nest?
That's the best ones. They draw pictures.
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, where we are right now, my kids love this huge slide they had, and they like a little bit of the bouncy houses, whatever. But yeah, there's no pictures being made in my area. I can promise you that.
I just posted the picture in Discord.
Oh, yeah. A pirate ship with a dolphin and everything. Very nice. What was that?
That was a dolphin.
For a brief second, I thought we had the heir apparent coming back and making weird noises.
Which, by the way, also, he's another reason you should be a patron, because he did okay on the show, but after, when we recorded after, much better material came out of him then. Found out he didn't know what fart is. Again, roll that dice.
Are you wanting me to?
Roll that dice.
I am.
Bad dad jokes.
Of course. As you pulled that crap up, that voice reminded me, you know, Kurt had that voice when he was like 10. So it is amazing that he only maybe dated two girls before his wife, because 10-year-old Kurt was, I can't even do his voice. It's so gravy. It's such hot gravy. Go ahead, Joe. What's your stupid dad joke?
Joe, please tell the one that I gave you.
Now you're teaming up on me. This is...
Oh, it's going to be worse than that.
Why don't you tell it? Because I'm looking for it. Oh, wait. I got it. Okay. I can say it.
Okay.
What do you call a fish wearing a suit?
I don't know.
Sophisticated. It took, Charles's face.
It took two of you. Two of you to bring that to the table, and that was extra hurtful.
That joke brought to you by Chat AI.
Chat GPT got you that joke?
Actually, the Bing one, but yes.
Okay.
Hey, Charles.
No, you don't get a second one. You do not get a second one.
That was mine. That was mine. Joe hasn't done it.
No. There's a moratorium. One bad dad joke per episode.
Charles, you need to make sure you don't argue with your wife on an elevator.
Don't, Joe.
You'll be wrong on so many levels.
That's not a joke. That's just facts.
Stop encouraging this. I need to know there's people like me out there that the moment these come up, you cringe, but you don't fast forward because you want to be with me in solidarity and help feel my pain. Because you guys seem to have all the confidence in the world. So how do I become more confident in front of people, Joe? You seem to have no problem telling just the worst jokes ever.
Well, you start off by not caring what people think about you, to be completely honest, because if you are sitting there psychoanalyzing what people are thinking about you, you're not going to come across as confident. It's not going to happen. And you find that, at least I find that as I get older, I care less and less about what other people think, because, well, I care less and less about other people in general. I don't want to be around those jerks. But no, it's that's what it. So caring less about what people think, but also you can be confident in specific things, in specific skills, in talking about specific subjects, and that all comes with experience. And so stop caring about what people think and get experience, and confidence will come.
All right.
That's my opinion.
You know, that's good advice. How'd you get there, Kurt?
It's actually kind of related. because, look, I think on a certain level, everybody still cares about what people think of them. However, the more that you get to know yourself and the more that you are, that you have your own convictions, strong convictions, the less that you are worried about how those are taken by other people and thereby boosting your confidence. So, for example, I know what the science says about how you lose weight. And so when I hear other people say, well, my chiropractor told me I need to do this and this and this, I can just say, yeah, the science just doesn't show that. And so here's what the science shows. And do I care about what their reaction is going to be? No, because I'm strong in my conviction. I think the more that you are strong in your belief system, in your convictions, no matter what they are, the more confident you become, because that's your truth.
All right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's just my opinion. What about you, Charles?
I mean, I think that's pretty spot on. Mine is just do it. Not just get more confidence, but you go to things like Toastmasters. If you're in a church, volunteer to read a scripture and never be afraid to fail. It really bothers me when somebody truly says something. I mean, well, factually incorrect is also a thing, but when it's such a blatant mistake, like they meant to say one word and said the other, and they don't acknowledge it. I don't know why, but that's why I always do it in my presentations and stuff. Or if I say the wrong name, like I'm trying to say Joseph, I say Kurt. I'm like, no, you're Kurt. I'm talking about Joe, or vice versa. But I will say that in a conversation because it does bother my brain when somebody skips it. They don't even correct themselves. They just say a blatantly wrong thing and just keep going because they didn't even hear themselves. And maybe that's why it bothers me, is you're not even listening. If you're not listening to yourself, why should I listen to you? It's a practice, but there's things like Toastmasters that I was in. I think it's a really, really good thing because a lot of the people there wanted to be better. One guy wanted to become an insurance agent, so he wanted to get better just talking to people. So that's why I was there. There was a school teacher who was over other school teachers, so she wanted to get better at presenting to her group of teachers and educating them on different things that they needed to educate on, that kind of thing. So I definitely say find opportunities to fail forward. And then really – I'm not even going to read that. You're trying to distract me. I'm going to keep going, Joe. Really? And you did type something about you need an ego-boosting title like Rock God, right? But that's not a bad thing. T-Pain and Snoop Dogg just dropped a new song here recently. It's all over TikTok. And I'm watching T-Pain. He's definitely pulling from Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure. Like, he actually put out a separate video that showed the bar scene with Pee-wee and his bar scene and how he's almost word for word and scene for scene recreating that thing to open his video and have fun with it. And I'm going, he's not doing anything special right here. I mean, I like it, but I'm saying I could do that. But why can't I do that? It's because I lack the confidence. And he's sitting there dancing. And it's not like, so you think you can dance crazy awesome stuff. He doesn't have the vision of himself that I have of myself, right? The confidence comes from your belief in yourself. There's so many people. I got a buddy, Jamie. I met him through hosting karaoke. He would come every Friday night and he would drink some Jack and Coke and get his confidence on. And he'll admit he can't sing. He's not there to impress people. He is there to entertain himself. And that was his joy. It's like singing along in the shower, but he doesn't care that he's out in public. And there are some people who would argue that he's a horrible singer. He's not horrible. He's not, oh my God, great. But he doesn't care. I get up, definitively, I can say, I love you, Jamie. I hope you're listening. But I think I can sing better than Jamie sometimes. And I'm just nervous as I'll get out because for whatever reason, I'm putting too much importance on it. So to your point, Joe, of not caring what people think, it's stop hanging so much weight on it. And that's why I built my brand on saying dumb things, making mistakes, and laughing at myself. Because ultimately, if you can take away that stigma, I'm not reading that either, Joe. I'll circle it back to you. You can read that stuff and type it. But ultimately, it's what we say at DragonCon all the time. One, take the good belief other people have in you, right? If I say, hey, Kurt, I think you belong on this panel, go, man, he must see something I don't. Let me just get on there and see what happens. Because when people do that, and I've had that happen almost every year, I put somebody nervous on a panel, and then it goes really well for them, right? That kind of thing. So get out there, do it. Let others believe in you and believe in yourself a little bit. And you maybe not care what people think about you, but not care about the results, because today is not the end all be all. All right, Joe, what kind of crap are you writing on the back window of this car as we're driving down the highway of this show?
Well, you said that it bothered you when you get names wrong, and so clearly that's the biggest reason why we had to stop Pokemon Go podcast.
You don't acknowledge it. Oh my God.
And it's incredibly rare to find someone who believes in themselves more than you do. If you believe in yourself.
If that is how this is going to go, we're going to end this show right now. But also, you're right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Believe in yourself like I do.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasts.
I don't believe in Mike Woodard.
At Joseph _Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
Also follow Kurt at VO by Kurt. That didn't talk about the Marvels.
I got you, Kurt. I'm not going to let it end that way for you.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rockdown of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph _Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
And still follow Kurt at VO by Kurt.
And still check out This Week in MCU.
Am I the butt face?
Riding this train all the way to Mugen.
Oh yeah, Daddy.